following is a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.
Welcome to Emmanuel Covenant Church. My name is Eric Hedberg, and I have the joy and the privilege of being the pastor here at Emmanuel. And I'm so glad that you are here worshiping with us this morning. Today is our fourth Sunday in a two-month series looking at what it means to live as Christmas people. So we spent a little over a month throughout Advent building up to Christmas, right? Building up to Jesus Christ's birth. We spent Advent reflecting on four major themes of the season that we find in Scripture: hope, joy, peace, and love. And all of those themes led us to the manger and to the birth of a Savior. When these themes of Christmas are all around us, it can be easy to celebrate Christmas. But the only way that Christmas really means anything at all is if we do the work and make the intentional decision to live as Christmas people all year long. If we leave Jesus in the manger and go back to our normal ways as soon as the decorations are put away and the candy is all eaten, we fail to really celebrate Christmas. Celebrating Christmas means a beginning. And so through January and February, we're going to work on that beginning together, working on living as Christmas people. So far, we have learned that living as Christmas people means that we are to live as people of praise. And what a case and cause for praise we have. We have been given the greatest gift of all, a Savior, a Messiah born unto us, born unto the whole world, to restore right relationship with the Almighty Creator. Praise will not always come easy, but it is always meant to be the beginning point for us, acknowledging who it is that offers freely to us love and forgiveness. Living as Christmas people also means that we are to live as chosen people. Chosen meaning that we, who are in Christ, are now taking the place of Abraham and his descendants, who were chosen by God to bless all the nations of the earth. We are chosen in Christ, not as better than others, but as those who recognize that we are the beloved. Those who recognize that grace has been lavished upon us by the Creator. And in the knowledge of these amazing truths, we are chosen to do God's work. And then last week, we looked at the importance of being listening people. One of the texts I referenced was from Jeremiah 6:16. Boy, Rich, you picked just a spectacular passage for that devotional. You had no idea that it would just keep coming back all month, did you? Thank you. And just as a reminder again, this is what the Lord says: stand at the crossroads and look. As for the ancient path, ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But you said, we will not walk in it. Crossroads come in life, daily. Sometimes they're huge intersections that force us to make big decisions about jobs, homes, family, etc. Sometimes they are these tiny little intersections, like whether to reach out to the lonely person at lunch, or to hold your tongue when a verbal altercation would not be fruitful. We looked at the ways last week that God speaks throughout Scripture. We see God's voice as a huge, booming voice that shakes creation in Psalm 29. We also saw a soft, delicate, dove-like voice that speaks as the Spirit descends upon Jesus at his baptism. We know that God speaks through dreams and through his chosen people. And we know that God seeks through action, comforting us when we need our hand held, opening our eyes to injustice around us, and convicting us when we can and should do better. God speaks. The question is, will we listen? The major takeaway for me as I was thinking about living as Christmas people when it comes to listening is really quite simple. I need to make the intentional choice to listen to God's voice in my life, which means more than just hearing it, but acknowledging it and doing what I'm led to do. You'll notice that on one side of the sheet that was either on your chair or the one next to you, the questions that we took time to reflect on are there. And I was asked to make these available to you, so here they are. And I invite you to take some time, as you know that you need to reflect on these questions and to make the intentional choice to listen to God. But this morning, we're going to look at what comes next. We know that we're chosen. We are listening, or at least we are working on listening. So what's next? This is, depending on how you look at it, either the really exciting part or the terrifying part. Because what comes next is that we are called. Living as Christmas people means that we are a called people. Let me pray for us. Holy God, speak to us this morning. Open our ears to hear what you are saying to us through your word, and help us to live as you call us to live, embracing the promise of Christmas. We pray this all in the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The first reading we're going to take a look at is from Isaiah 49, verses 1 to 7. As I'm reading this, see if you notice the things that we've talked about in terms of living as Christmas people. If you don't have a Bible and would like one, feel free to raise your hand, and one of our ushers would be happy to bring you one, either for today or to keep. But let me read Isaiah 49, verses 1 to 7 for us. Listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my mother's womb, he has spoken my name. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. He said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will display my splendor." But I said, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing at all. Yet what is due me is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with my God." And now the Lord says, "He who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back from him and gather Israel to himself, for I am honored in the eyes of my Lord, and my God has been my strength, he says, 'It is too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth.' This is what the Lord says, the Redeemer and Holy One of Israel, to him who was despised and abhorred by the nation, to the servant of rulers. Kings will see you and stand up. Princes will see and bow down because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel who has chosen you." Did you catch some of those pieces throughout? Did you see the words of praise? We read the Redeemer and the Holy One of Israel. Or talk of the chosen. Here in the Old Testament, specifically talking about Israel. Restoring the tribes of Jacob. Though immediately, we see that God wants so much more than that. That God wants his salvation to reach the ends of the earth. And we see a God clearly speaking to his people here. And the whole of this passage is about this idea of call. It is a passage about a call from God upon a person whom God knows intimately. It is a call from God that is about the flourishing of the whole world. It is a call that expects big things, really big things, and it's a call that has an effect beyond just Isaiah. It is a call that extends into the whole world and blesses the whole world, a call that God's salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. This is a really big call. And it is this kind of call that we read about here in Isaiah that we read in relation to so many in the Bible. Abraham, Moses, Jonah, Noah, Ruth, Esther, Mary, Joseph, and on, that seems to us, I think, unattainable. It seems overwhelming. That seems, frankly, like something that is larger than real life. But Jesus assures us that call, that the primary call of our lives is not too big for us. It is not larger than life. It is, in fact, life itself. It is very real, it is very now, and it is very here. We see this both in who Jesus calls as his disciples, as well as how and where he calls them. We're going to take a look now at John chapter 1, verses 29 to 42. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. When John gave this testimony, I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one.' The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, 'Look, the Lamb of God.' When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, 'What do you want?' They said, 'Rabbi,' which means teacher, 'where are you staying?' 'Come,' he replied, 'and you will see.' So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who had heard what John had said and who followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, 'We have found the Messiah, that is, the Christ,' and he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, 'You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas,' which, when translated, is Peter." Here we see Jesus invite two very real people from their very real lives into a very real call. Andrew and Simon Peter are not kings or Pharisees that Jesus calls. They are not the elite. They are not the educated. They are not the powerful. These are everyday people that Jesus calls, that Jesus invites to follow him. They are unexpected in their ordinariness. And the call that is issued from Jesus is equally ordinary. "Come and you will see." And just a verse later, Jesus says to Philip, simply, "Follow me." Not for a second do I think that Andrew or Simon Peter or even John, who sent Andrew to Jesus, knew what it was they were getting into. Not for a second do I think that Andrew went to Jesus expecting to be one of the 12, expecting to see the things that he saw, expecting to hear what he heard, expecting to do what he did. Not for a second do I think that Simon went to Jesus expecting his whole life to be changed and his name immediately. They heard who Jesus was, and they followed. It was that simple. I really wonder whether Andrew or Simon Peter would have gone over to speak to Jesus if they had known. If they had known the work, the challenges, the suffering, the pain, the heartbreak, as well as the joy and the awe and the love that they would experience. What if Jesus' initial call had been, "Andrew, come and be a part of the most important movement in all of human history and be one of my most trusted friends and disciples. Peter, come with me and you will walk on water, you will heal people, you'll change the way people understand God, and you'll be the foundation of my church." Would they have gone? Or would that have completely overwhelmed them from the start? We can tend to get ahead of ourselves too, can't we? Way ahead of ourselves. Sometimes in good directions, but possibly nowhere near where God intends, where he intends us to go. Because we start to look too much at the big picture. We start to look too far beyond the simple call that Jesus has placed on us. We get beyond the primary things and start to make secondary things more important. And so Jesus invites us back to that primary call. And he lays it all out for us when he responds in Matthew to the Pharisee who asked him, "What is the greatest commandment?" Jesus responds, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." This is the primary call of our lives, to follow Jesus by loving God and loving our neighbor as ourself. That's it. It's that simple. This is the call for all of us, not just Isaiah, not just the heroes we read about in the Old Testament, not just the disciples or the founders of the early church, not just pastors or missionaries or chaplains. This is the call for all of us, for you and for me. We are called to this very same thing. Follow Jesus by loving God and loving our neighbor as ourselves. But even though we are called to follow Jesus by loving God and loving our neighbor as ourselves, it looks different for all of us because we are all unique people. We all have unique gifts, unique talents, unique histories, and unique circumstances. This call looks different in my life than it does in Erica's, than it does in Jeannie's or Rich's or Kristen's or Christian's. I shouldn't have said those two names back to back. This call looks different for all of us. Just like listening to God is not something we can do alone, following God's call is not something we can do alone. Because as we are all unique in this same call, we can learn a lot from one another. And we can learn a lot by sharing our lives with others. We're going to take just a little bit of time this morning. Maybe you are one of those people who has already flipped your sheet over. And I say that because I certainly would have. And would have, you know, jumped ahead. But I'm going to ask us to spend a few moments reflecting on these questions and discussing them with one another. That's right, you have to talk to each other. So I'm going to invite you to pair up or group up. Take a look at these questions. There's just the four of them. Spend a minute or two reflecting on the questions and then share. You don't need to get through all of them because these are not light questions. They're not what did you have for breakfast type questions. These are life questions. But share with one another. Look at where it is you are being called to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself in your life. And after a little bit of time, again, this will probably be way too much for some of you, and it will be way not enough for others of you, but I'll close us. Well, as promised or warned, it's way too much time for some and way not enough time, I think, for quite a number. But I would hope that this is a beginning of a conversation, that you would continue to take these questions, reflect on them, and discuss them with others. And I would suggest in a regularly sort of way. That's not at all the way I intended to say that. You know, you get what I'm saying. This is something that you should revisit regularly. There we go. But to be reminded of the call, the primary call of loving God and loving others as ourselves and following Jesus in that. Before I close us in prayer, I think it's important to mention that this is a great morning to talk about call. And Erica can attest to the fact that I was really excited about it, because in just a little bit here, we're going to be voting in some new members of our Emmanuel Covenant Church Council. And we trust that God has called these men and women into these roles of leadership for the coming year. But I want to be clear, and I want us as a church to be clear, that the call that comes first and foremost for all of us, including and especially our leaders, is the call to follow Jesus. No other task or job or role or call will come of anything that bears fruit, that bears lasting fruit, if the primary call of following Jesus by loving God and loving others as ourselves, if that takes a back seat. And so as we uphold our leaders in prayer throughout the year, pray for their call. Pray for this primary call first. For the ways that they are following Jesus, for their relationship with God, and for the ways that they are showing God's love to others. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you for who you are. As creator, as redeemer, and Lord of all things. We don't deserve the grace that you have lavished upon us as your people, but we humbly accept that as your chosen people in Christ, we have your work to do. Help us, God, to listen to you well, to hear your voice, and to allow ourselves to be changed by it. We accept your call on our lives, God, to follow your Son, to love you, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. In all areas of our life, help us to live into this call, God. Help us to truly live as Christmas people. We pray this by the power of the Holy Spirit and in the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.org.